I mentioned Sunday school this morning that my two messages really go together. You may not see that if you're in both services, but really they do. This morning, I want us to look at chapter 42, and we find here what I would describe as a believer, and I believe it is David, and he's in despair. His despair is probably, we're not sure, but probably when he was fleeing from his own son, Absalom, as he sought to take over the nation. And this tremendous psalm. And I hope that you can catch the meaning of this. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. My God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these tremendously marvelous words. Oh God, we thank you that you have recorded these for our sake. And Lord, may we really understand how it is for our sake. Help us understand, though David wrote it, it is much of what we agonize with ourselves. And Lord God, that we might have the longing that he had. Bless in these moments with the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I believe here we find the voice of a spiritual believer. He's under depression. Who would not be depressed when their son has risen up to take over the land? And so he longs for a renewal of the divine presence of God. We find in the midst of that, he struggles with doubts and with fears. I dare say this morning that if you're a living soul and you have not died yet, your body is still there, and you have that old flesh still working, there have been doubts and fears that have come upon you even as a believer. And yet as we look at this man, he holds his ground by a faith in the living, marvelous God. I want us to notice verse 1, if anything else, this would be the verse. Notice what he says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and be here for him, for God? He goes on in verse 3 and 4. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul to me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. He's remembering what had taken place with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. And what we find here is this man having a tremendous desire for God. But somehow he seems to find it difficult to communicate with God. In verse 1, he is longing for the presence of God. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. I wonder, has God taken us far enough as his people in these times to where we long for the presence of God? Not just individually, but corporately. For that is what he speaks of here. Longing for his presence. His desire for public worship. If you notice verse number 2, he says, my soul thirsteth for God, the living God. There's a colon. The explanation follows. When shall I come and appear before God? Where is God? He is everywhere. We understand that. He's omnipresent. But yet, David is saying here, when am I able to come into his presence? Speaking primarily of going to the tabernacle. He's longing for the presence of God. He desires that public worship, but he's not able to do it because he's on the run. He's been separated. We find he's been jeered for his unbelief. They have said horrible things. They even question him, where's your God? What makes you think he's so real? And not only with that, we find in verse 4, he has memories that haunt him. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. And he longs for that. He longs for the fellowship. He longs for being in the presence of God and be able to lift his voice in song with those who are brethren. No doubt that he might also be able to lift his heart in a prayer of praise along with those others beside him. What does it take for us to have such a longing in our soul? Such a desire for God, such a desire to be able to bring glory to his name in a corporate fashion. By the way, we're not going to bring a whole lot of glory if we're sitting in our closet all day. He's got to get out of there. And so we find him having a desire, but unable to communicate it. Notice verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? He asked the question, why am I depressed? What's going on? Why am I in such despair? And then he answers his own question as God pumps it into his soul and his mind. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Wow, look at that. The help of his countenance. We're talking about the countenance. We normally are talking about the face. We're talking about what people see. And he's longing for the countenance of God. He said, well, you can't see God. He's a spiritual being. Yes, he is, but we see him in the spirit. They that worship him must worship him, how? In truth and in spirit. And so though he has the cloud of despair, we find him admonishing himself to walk above that horrible cloud, to step out of that and to go forward. And yet what do we find? Despair comes upon him even more. Oh my God, verse 6, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites and the hill Mizar, areas where he was now wandering, places that he was away from the tabernacle in Jerusalem. As I remember these things, oh, how I long for him again. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. He's reminding himself of some marvelous things. In the night, his song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. Then we notice another thing. He says, I will say to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Again, he asks the question, why am I in such a situation? I want his nearness. My soul panteth after God. But here I am in the wilderness. Here I am stuck away from the majority of God's people. Here I am in this position. And oh God, I long for you. I long for that time to be there. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And then verse 11 again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And though despair comes around him again, as we notice in those verses, but we find that this righteous man, he rises again. He sees his problem, and he cries out to God. And God gives him the answer, hope thou in God. Our hope is not in anything else. As Americans, somehow we think our hope is in finances. People of this world think their hope is in government. But what has God allowed to take place the last few months? To take away much of that, that we might finally get our eyes off of that and realize our hope is in God. Are we longing for that presence? Are we desirous of that? What's the Word of God meant to you in the last few weeks? Have you read it? Have you enjoyed it? Have you allowed the Spirit of God to bring its words into your heart, into your mind? And yet I wonder, how many of God's people, those who claim to know him, haven't even picked up the Bible and looked at it? Maybe he's watching this video or hear somebody, they've opened their Bible, maybe the first time since the last service. It's a sad thing when you find Bibles wearing out from sunshine because they've been left all week long on the dash. It's horrifying as you walk through the auditorium and you find after a service a Bible and nobody claims it for the next several days. I'm wondering, why did they not miss it? Is our hearts panting after the very presence of God? Again, I know he's everywhere. But there's a difference between the knowledge that, oh, God is here, and to recognize God is here. And he wants that full attention. When I walk in my house, so often there's something that takes place. My wife will be sitting in the living room and I can kind of see her through the back door. And normally sitting at her feet is our dog. And she'll kind of get up. And I can hear Joe say, there's Gene. Go get him. And that dog will come. And he doesn't wag his tail. He wags everything back there. And I mean, he wags it so hard that his head's going back and forth. Excited to see. And he's only filled with the desire to see me. He does it with the grandkids the same way he does me. He does it with Joe the same way he does with me. The dog's a female. And she's consumed with the idea, hey, they're here. She's got a little bed in the kitchen, and she will lay on that bed sometimes 2 or 3 hours waiting for somebody to come through the door. And automatically, it consumes her. Should that not be as true of you and I, of God? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As much as the animal seeks out, desirous of that water to quench their thirst, he says, so panteth my soul after thee. How much do you desire him? I'm talking to God's people. How much do you want him in your life? And honestly, I believe God takes us through some droughts that we might appreciate the rain. God takes us through some hard situations that we might appreciate the deliverer. Are we letting God teach us some valuable lessons? Is our soul panting after him? Oh, to God, that would take place. I'll guarantee you this. If that would begin with God's people, we would see revival wherever that's at. Because what happens to you? You're the salt of the earth. And we must maintain our saltiness from the preserver of life, and that be God. That's his desire for us. He wants that as bad as we do. You know what the book of Exodus is all about? Oh, I know there's about 20 chapters that deal with their leaving the land of Egypt and all the plagues and the miracles and so forth that took place to get Israel out of there. But I believe the real key to the entire book is found, I think it's in chapter 32, where he asks them to build a tabernacle where he could meet with them. If you're a Christian, God enlivened your spirit that you might meet with him. Not to crush it with the desires of the flesh, but to allow that, can I use the word heart there? To long for the presence of God. Long for that presence. If you're not saved, you have nothing. You have nothing. You're dependent upon politicians. Isn't that exciting? You're dependent upon security in your job. Isn't that present? You're on shaky ground. I like the song we sang a while ago where it talks about basically being attached to the rock of our salvation. He's our rock. If you don't know him as your rock, you need him. You need to cry out to him and ask him to forgive you of your sin. accept what he did for you upon the cross of Calvary, and then begin to know what it means to have the presence of God in your soul. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful today that you indeed are everywhere. But, oh God, we shut you out so much. You've given us a free will to open that door to you. Oh God, would you somehow make us so desirous to push that door wide open for your presence to enter in. Work in hearts. Glorify yourself. Reach down and through us then touch the sinner that needs you. God, glorify yourself. Bring revival fires to each of our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. With ourselves, and Lord God, that we might have the longing that he had. Bless in these moments with the power and anointing of the Spirit of God. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I believe here we find the voice of a spiritual believer. He's under depression. Who would not be depressed when their son has risen up to take over the land? And so he longs for a renewal of the divine presence of God. We find in the midst of that, he struggles with doubts and with fears. I dare say this morning that if you're a living soul and you have not died yet, your body's still there, and you have that old flesh still working, there have been doubts and fears that have come upon you even as a believer. And yet as we look at this man, he holds his ground by a faith in the living, marvelous God. I want us to notice verse 1, if anything else, this would be the verse. Notice what he says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and be here for him, for God? He goes on in verse 3 and 4. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. He's remembering what had taken place with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. And what we find here is this man having a tremendous desire for God. But somehow he seems to find it difficult to communicate with God. In verse 1, he is longing for the presence of God. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. I wonder, has God taken us far enough as his people in these times to where we long for the presence of God? Not just individually, but corporately. For that is what he speaks of here. Longing for his presence. His desire for public worship. If you notice verse number 2, he says, my soul thirsted for God, the living God. There's a colon. The explanation follows. When shall I come and appear before God? Where is God? He is everywhere. We understand that. He's omnipresent. But yet, David is saying here, when am I able to come into his presence? Speaking primarily of going to the tabernacle. He's longing for the presence of God. He desires that public worship, but he's not able to do it because he's on the run. He's been separated. We find he's been jeered for his unbelief. They have said horrible things. They even question him, "Where's your God? What makes you think he's so real?" And not only with that, we find in verse 4, he has memories that haunt him. "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God." And he longs for that. He longs for the fellowship. He longs for being in the presence of God and be able to lift his voice in song with those who are brethren. No doubt that he might also be able to lift his heart in a prayer of praise along with those others beside him. What does it take for us to have such a longing in our soul? Such a desire for God, such a desire to be able to bring glory to his name in a corporate fashion. By the way, we're not going to bring a whole lot of glory if we're sitting in our closet all day. He's got to get out of there. And so we find him having a desire, but unable to communicate it. Notice verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" He asked the question, why am I depressed? What's going on? Why am I in such despair? And then he answers his own question as God pumps it into his soul and his mind. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Wow, look at that. The help of his countenance. We're talking about the countenance. We normally are talking about the face. We're talking about what people see. And he's longing for the countenance of God. He said, "Well, you can't see God. He's a spiritual being." Yes, he is, but we see him in the spirit. They that worship him must worship him. How? In truth and in spirit. And so though he has the cloud of despair, we find him admonishing himself to walk above that horrible cloud, to step out of that and to go forward. And yet what do we find? Despair comes upon him even more. "Oh my God," verse 6, "my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and the hill Mizar," areas where he was now wandering, places that he was away from the tabernacle in Jerusalem. He says, "I remember these things. Oh, how I long for them again. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime." He's reminded himself of some marvelous things. "In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Then we notice another thing. He says, "I will say to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" Again he asks the question, why am I in such a situation? I want his nearness. My soul panteth after God. But here I am in the wilderness. Here I am stuck away from the majority of God's people. Here I am in this position. And oh God, I long for you. I long for that time to be there. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And then verse 11 again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who's the health of my countenance and my God. And though despair comes around him again, as we notice in those verses, but we find that this righteous man, he rises again. He sees his problem and he cries out to God. And God gives him the answer, hope thou in God. Our hope is not in anything else. As Americans, somehow we think our hope is in finances. People of this world think their hope is in government. But what has God allowed to take place the last few months? To take away much of that we might finally get our eyes off of that and realize our hope is in God. Are we longing for that presence? Are we desirous of that? What's the Word of God meant to you in the last few weeks? Have you read it? Have you enjoyed it? Have you allowed the Spirit of God to bring its words into your heart, into your mind? And yet I wonder, how many of God's people, those who claim to know Him, haven't even picked up the Bible and looked at it? Maybe he's watching this video or hear somebody, they've opened their Bible, maybe the first time since the last service. It's a sad thing when you find Bibles wearing out from sunshine because they've been left all week long on the dash. It's horrifying as you walk through the auditorium and you find after a service a Bible and nobody claims it for the next several days. I'm wondering, why did they not miss it? Is our hearts panting after the very presence of God? Again, I know He's everywhere. But there's a difference between the knowledge that, oh, God is here, and to recognize God is here. And He wants that full attention. When I walk in my house, so often there's something that takes place. My wife will be sitting in the living room and I can kind of see her through the back door. And normally sitting at her feet is our dog. And she'll kind of get up. And I can hear Joe say, "There's Gene. Go get him." And that dog will come. And he doesn't wag his tail. He wags everything back there. And I mean, he wags it so hard that his head's going back and forth. Excited to see. And he's only filled with the desire to see me. He does it with the grandkids the same way he does me. He does it with Joe the same way he does with me. She, I should say, the dog's a female. And she's consumed with the idea, hey, they're here. She's got a little bed in the kitchen, and she will lay on that bed sometimes 2 or 3 hours waiting for somebody to come through the door. And automatically, it consumes her. Should that not be as true of you and I, of God? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As much as the animal seeks out, desirous of that water to quench their thirst, He says, so panteth my soul after thee. How much do you desire Him? I'm talking to God's people. How much do you want Him in your life? And honestly, I believe God takes us through some droughts that we might appreciate the rain. God takes us through some hard situations that we might appreciate the deliverer. Are we letting God teaches some valuable lessons. Is our soul panting after him? Oh, to God that would take place. I'll guarantee you this, if that would begin with God's people, we would see revival wherever that's at. Because what happens to you? You're the salt of the earth. And we must maintain our saltiness from the preserver of life, and that be God. That's his desire for us. He wants that as bad as we do. You know what the book of Exodus is all about? Oh, I know there's about 20 chapters that deal with their leaving the land of Egypt and all the plagues and the miracles and so forth that took place to get Israel out of there. But I believe the real key to the entire book is found, I think it's in chapter 32, where he asks them to build a tabernacle where he could meet with them. If you're a Christian, God enlivened your spirit that you might meet with him. Not to crush it with the desires of the flesh, but to allow that, can I use the word heart there? To long for the presence of God. Long for that presence. If you're not saved, you have nothing. You have nothing. You're dependent upon politicians. Isn't that exciting? You're dependent upon security in your job. Isn't that present? You're on shaky ground. I like the song we sang a while ago where it talks about basically being attached to the rock of our salvation. He's our rock. If you don't know him as your rock, you need him. You need to cry out to him and ask him to forgive you of your sin. Accept what he did for you upon the cross of Calvary. And then begin to know what it means to have the presence of God in your soul. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful today that you indeed are everywhere. But, oh God, we shut you out so much. You've given us a free will to open that door to you. Oh God, would you somehow make us so desirous to push that door wide open for your presence to enter in? Work in hearts. Glorify yourself. Reach down and through us then touch the sinner that needs you. God, glorify yourself. Bring revival fires to each of our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.